if the American dollar is based on the on just the declaration of what it's worth, if it's a fiat system, which simply says this is worth $1, and everybody agrees, yes, this piece of paper is worth $1, and if we all agree that all of our money is only worth what it says is printed on the bill, so $20 bills worth $20, $5 bills worth $5, that's only by mutual agreement that these pieces of cotton fiber paper are worth what we think they are, then what does it matter how much gold we actually have? If our money is not really tied to gold anyway, then does it matter if we have 20% less or 20% more? That doesn't really affect the value of our monetary system.
You're absolutely right. In fact, if you read the arguments that were put forth in the 1950s, you'll find people making that very suggestion. Why do we have this enormous pile of value buried underground, and we have people standing around watching it? We're paying them to stand around and watch it. What good is it doing there? Why don't we just take it all and sell it? And the idea of having reserves, whether they're held in gold or in some other form, is like basic economic planning. I mean, who doesn't have reserves? And for a nation to be without reserves would be absolutely a mistake. So ultimately, in the end, this is supposed to be our last chance money. This is supposed to be our end of the line. We can always tap into the gold reserves. And unfortunately, if it's all pledged and earmarked, then what it tells me is that the last little bit of protection that we as Americans have has been stripped away without our knowledge.
Are you saying that our gold that's in Fort Knox or in New York, it is to us as a nation what, say, a safe full of gold coins would be to the average investor? That we all deal in cash money. We all, we receive our paychecks in cash and we pay our bills using the currency. But we might have a reserve of gold coins in a safe or under a mattress. And that's the same thing as Fort Knox to our government.
Precisely the same. And when the reserve was established, everyone knew that there was a 25% cover, that for every dollar in circulation, the federal government held 25 cents in gold in its vaults. And so this 25% cover made Americans and the rest of the world, in fact, feel secure that their money was not going to have a repeat performance of 1929, where it was completely valueless. So this was the intent of Fort Knox. We're going to gather all the gold up. We're going to put it in the basement here. No one person is going to hold it. No individual will have control of it. We'll always divide it against our existing money supply. And at a time when there was $350 billion in circulation, why then around $100 billion in gold would be stored in the vaults. And if government decided that they needed to borrow more money or issue more money, they had to increase the gold reserves. And when they didn't, they actually had that shortage of gold that made the papers and everyone talked about. So while we weren't on an official gold standard, the presence of gold acted exactly like that investor's gold in a safe. It was gave a sense of security to the average American.
Okay, so if at one point it was for each dollar there was 25 cents of gold represented somewhere, what is the ratio now?
Well, this is the real question. We've increased the money supply from then by 62 times. So we have 62 times as much money in circulation now as we did in 1937, but we have nowhere near 52 times as much gold. I mean, even by their own estimates, we have substantially less than we did at the peak in 1945. 1945, our cover was closer to 50% because we had gold from all over the world. And so that supply has dwindled sixfold. So the total ounces in storage are about one-sixth of what they were at the peak in 1945, and the money supply is 62 times greater. So it's a horror show if you look at it in those terms. You ready for the cover ratio today? It's 0.025.
Wow.
So such wow. a fraction of a cent that there's nowhere near enough to cover.
Okay. So, all right, so let's just dispense with that theory then. We're done with that idea that somehow there would, that gold would be, it would take forever to get back to 25 cents. We'd take taking a ton of actual currency out of the economy, as well as an enormous increase in the amount of gold in order to close that gap again to get it to 25 cents in the dollar. So that's not going to happen. What's a reasonable trajectory for that? What could happen in the future if we were very prudent? Could we get it back to 5 cents of every dollar is covered somewhere by gold?
Only one way to do it, and that would be slash government spending to the bone and confiscate the gold of everyone in America. So it would require an outright prohibition on ownership, and if you own gold, you have to sell it to the Federal Reserve at some fixed benchmark price. That would be the only way to get gold reserves back in line, at least in some semblance of a line, relative to how much money is in circulation.
Okay. Looking forward, you said that the complications of this is that the gold that's in Fort Knox or in the Federal Reserve is our fallback money. That if our economy, if our paper money collapses, then we'll have gold to be able to get by on. Can you describe to me how that might work in
the
future?
Well, it might work with a new currency unit that's pegged to the gold that's in our gold reserves. It might work with the revaluation of the dollar, again, pegged to our gold reserves. In the event of a currency crisis, it would tell the rest of the world that our monetary unit is based on something other than faith and credit. Now, I'm not saying that we're near that point now, but it's nice to know. It's like insurance. That's kind of the way you have to view a reserve, insurance against the unforeseen possibility. And that's really what a gold standard is intended to enforce.